are again in our series, Living as a Church, and today we conclude with our 29th class. This has spanned 6 months, 29 weeks, 20 plus different topics, which can fall into these categories. What is the church? We talked about unity, we talked about diversity, we talked about church membership, we talked about church governance and elders and deacons, we talked about corporate worship, we talked about the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, we talked about ministry of the word and prayer, spiritual gifts, singing, serving, giving, encouragement, discipleship, hospitality, discernment, church discipline, and evangelism. So yeah, so with such a large list, it's helpful to take time and give thought to an overall summary of this series of classes. So how would you summarize this class, this series, in your own words?
Long.
That's what I have written on the page. Long.
Thorough.
Good.
Comprehensive.
Good.
Need, yeah. Needed. Will the church need to know how the church is supposed to?
That's right. Yeah.
It's kind of important.
Yeah, especially after coming out of the weird season of COVID. Yeah, that was certainly our one of our intentions. So, yeah, we kind of wanted to reset how we viewed the church. In the very first class, we had an illustration of a vacation and returning from vacation, right? And so much when you come back from a vacation, you have to be very intentional about transferring back from the irregular routine of vacation to your regular routine of day-to-day life. We need to be intentional as a church about getting back into some of the regular habits of our life together. It would be tempting to keep some of the routines we've picked up, just like it's easy to keep on sleeping in, eating poorly, watching more TV when we get home from vacation. We are now back to regular routine, but we'll be tempted to keep some of the irregular habits that were formed during COVID. Well, you have one more week to get it together before we move on to a different topic. Well, yeah, I suppose. So our goal with this class was to give a full vision of what it means to live together as a church, and with that full vision, to see us continue to work towards building a healthy culture in this body. So was someone saying something? Okay. Our goal has been to better display the glory of God as we learn what it means to live with one another with a unifying love that glorifies God. So with that as our goal, as we conclude, we want to encourage you with these words that we have a job to do. We've given thought to a wide-ranging church life together. Our desire and hope is that you've been given a vision of the church in which you and I, each of us, would be active participants in, and not only that, but that we have a job to do as active participants. And that job begins way back with Adam in the garden. So we're going to talk today, start by talking about the office of priest-king and how that relates to Adam. So if we're talking about Adam, we're probably going to go to Genesis. Can someone read Genesis 1,
28?
Yes.
Okay. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
All right, so what do we read in here that shows us that Adam is a king? What do we read in 1:28 that shows us?
He's told to rule over everything, basically.
Yeah, right? Dominion, subduing. Yeah, so the whole story of the Bible begins with God and his creation of the world and with mankind, particularly the creation of Adam. So having created Adam, God makes a covenant with Adam in 1:28 in which he gives Adam dominion, right? So he makes Adam a king. Being made in the image of God, Adam is given the responsibility and authority to exercise dominion over the creation. So we see Adam as king here, but Adam is more than just a king. Let's turn a couple verses down. Can someone read Genesis 2:15?
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it.
All right. So here God has called Adam to work and keep, to watch over the Garden of Eden. And this is the same language given to Israel's priests in Numbers 18:5 through 6. Using the same language to work and guard and keep. The priest's work was to keep the temple a holy place. So the work of Adam in the garden is to maintain and protect the garden as a holy place, as the dwelling place of God. So here are two responsibilities that God gave Adam. Adam was the priest king. He was the one who meditates God's rule and works to protect what's holy. Not reigning in the place of God, but on behalf of the greater king, God. So it's important to realize that Adam was a real historical person, and he was also the everyman. So let's read Psalm 8:4 through 8, where we'll see that this responsibility to Adam was also to the everyman, representing all of us. Psalm 8:4 through 8.
What is man that you remember him, the son of man that you look after him? You made him less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as all the animals in the land, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, the path that through the currents of the sea.
All right. Yep, thank you. Yeah, so we see the psalmist here, not saying just Adam was given dominion, but man, right? So Adam, as the first man, is representing mankind and the mission that God has given mankind. So every human being has been made like Adam, and God crowned and made every human Lord over the work of his hands. This one author writes, humanity, remarkably, is a democracy of kings. But Adam, just as everyone after him, how did his priestly kingship go?
Not well,
right? Adam, just as everyone after him, failed to live perfectly as the priest king. Adam did not represent God's rule, but sought his own rule and was evicted, kicked out of the garden. The story of the Bible is God passing the job of the priest king to Abraham, to Moses, to Israel, to David, eventually separating out the roles of priests and kings. So how did all the stewards of the priest king responsibly do?
Not so well either, right?
Yeah, poorly. But no one did it perfectly. Over thousands of years, people continued to fail. Thus, until one came, Jesus. Jesus was the perfect priest king. Jesus did the job that Adam, Abraham, Israel, and David were to do but had failed to do. He was the perfect priest and perfect king. Colossians 1 says Jesus is now ruling on God's behalf as the firstborn of this new creation. So what Adam poorly represented, Jesus rightly represented. Where Adam brought death, Jesus brings life. And if we believe him, we are forgiven of our sins and are actually united to him. Romans 6:5 says, for we have been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So we rise because he has risen. We are declared righteous because Jesus was declared righteous. He took our sin. We took his righteousness in this wonderful union. But not only that, we now reign because he reigns. Our union with Christ means that the office which he holds is now given to us. Because of our union with him, we become a priest-king once again. Let's read 1 Peter 2, 9. First part. I'll read it. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. So what are the four titles given to God's people now in Christ here?
Chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, and people of his possession.
That's right, yeah. A people chosen for God, people of his possession. So the church corporately, yet individually, occupies the office of priest-king. Not because of any righteousness within ourselves, but because of our union with Jesus Christ. So what a glorious union. But this means that just as Adam had a job to do, that we, now that we've been united to Jesus, also have a job to do. So let's consider the responsibilities of the priest-king. How did Adam fulfill his kingly duties? Yeah, his kingly duties.
He named all the animals.
Tended the garden.
Yeah, tended the garden. And how about his priestly duties? That's the one we think of most failing.
Not sure.
How he did walk with God initially.
Yeah. Seeing.
I don't know how long it took for him to fail from, well, after he got Eve.
Right.
He didn't fail until after he got Eve.
Right. Correlation, not causation, just to reiterate there. Things are going fine. I mean, that's essentially his argument to God, right?
Essentially.
Yes.
The woman you gave.
Right. Yes.
Although I sat here.
How pitiful. Yes. Right.
But I mean, prior to Eve, I'm sure he walked with God quite.
Right.
It's been quite a nice thing to do.
Yeah, caring of the garden.
Men have been making excuses ever since.
That's right. The same trap. So then, let's consider what are Christians the priest kings to watch over? What are Christians to watch over? What are we to tend to? What are we to protect?
Oh, I didn't expect that question.
Huh?
Well, for all that buildup, you asked that question, well, the whole earth and the dominion of.
Sure. So, yeah, I think as Adam the everyman, we still have a responsibility to care for the creation that we've been stewarded. But I would say, also the church.
More specifically, the church.
Yes.
Okay. You weren't going why. You're going, okay.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Say that.
2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 7, 1. Someone read that section for us.
14
to 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Yes.
Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God.
All right. So this passage starting about not being unequally yoked. Is there a particular context where you've heard this passage before, particularly about being not even unevenly yoked?
Marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I would say that's a misconception that this passage is just about marriage. There's application there. The context tells us of these verses tell us that it has more to do with the protection of the church and not of marriage. We are to cleanse and keep holy the church, the temple of the living God, which is made visible in the local church. How else are we going to see where the work needs to be done? The question then becomes, how? So let's consider the last 6 months. In weeks 2 through 7, we talked about the commitment, the committing and uniting ourselves to a group of Christians where we make promises like this to live out the gospel and love one another amidst our diversity. And then in weeks 8 through 10, we considered submitting ourselves to leaders, shepherds who will equip us in this work, and through the work of deacons who serve us in ways that the unity of the church is protected. We also considered that we fulfill this by gathering every week to hear God's word proclaimed, to pray together, to sing together, to serve one another by using our spiritual gifts, by practicing hospitality, discipleship, to give, and to encourage one another with the word of God. This is weeks 11 and 14 through 23. And then finally, through making disciples of all nations by evangelism, welcoming in new Christians through baptism, growing the borders of the kingdom, and maintaining our unity by participating in the Lord's Supper while practicing discipline ensures the dwelling place of God is protected, working and keeping, weeks 12 to 13 and 24 through 28. So Adam's job became Christ's job, and now through our union with Jesus, it becomes our job. Questions about Adam's job, how it relates to us.
I think maybe the way for me that's helpful to think about it is that Adam was placed in the whole world in one garden to work and keep this one garden, which was the place of his God's presence.
Hmm.
The priests also guard the place of God's presence, the physical temple. We guard the place of God's presence, which is not a garden or a temple. It is the temple of the living God, the people of God.
Hmm.
So we have a similar work of guarding the place of God's presence, but it's not a building anymore, it's a people.
Hmm.
We guard people.
That's good. It's helpful. Any other thoughts or questions? All right, so we have a job to do. If the job of priest, king, and the church was posted to indeed.com or some other job listing site, what are some of the responsibilities that would be described?
For the regular member?
Yes.
Attend meetings regularly.
Okay. Yeah.
Including membership meetings.
Absolutely.
Presence.
That's right. And that can go to, you know, any job, right?
Must be proficient with the Bible.
That's right.
Well, that's not going to be too.
That's right.
I was going to say Romans 12, but.
All of Romans 12, amen.
That's what I would say.
Right. Well, as we're comparing it to jobs, I'd say you just need to be interactive. Mm. I know that's part of what you're kind of getting at, but there's a lot of minutia in there.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, whether, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a solo responsibility, right?
Yeah, it's not just show up.
Right.
It's not. you have to do things. You have to be active.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to participate.
Stop just showing up. There's no remote telework.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I would say there might be, you know, telework kind of homework, maybe. I don't know. I thought about how far you could take this metaphor, and you can take it way too far.
No previous experience required.
Mm.
As soon as you're.
That's right.
You're welcome to the membership.
That's right.
So get a few years under your belt.
Yeah, yeah. This is an entry level position. All right, so much of this lesson comes from this book, Understanding the Congregation's Authority, which the book club read or discussed yesterday. But in it, he lays out, Jonathan Lehman lays out seven responsibilities for the congregation specifically. So responsibility number one is, as you are able, attend church regularly. So let's go to Hebrews 10, 24. Through 25. Hebrews 10, 24, and 24 through 25.
Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
All right, so the church's assembly is the home office for our job. Doesn't mean that we don't have temporary offices abroad or have telework, you know, where we're working remotely to extend the metaphor, but it does mean it is our home base of operations. Our regular gathering is where the body holistically can stir each other up to love and good works. It is where we most clearly reflect God's glory and power of the gospel in our unity through diversity, as we started at the beginning of our series. It is where we are most comprehensively trained through teaching and preaching of the word, through singing the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. In all we do in our gathering, we seek to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry. So, responsibility for the priest king, for the Christian, as you are able to attend church regularly. Number two, help preserve the gospel. Can someone read Galatians 1:6?
I am astonished that you are also quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel.
All right, so do you know who Paul is talking to here? Talking to the church, that's right. Yeah, he's not talking to the elders, he's talking to the church. While speaking to the church, and why is he astonished? Yeah, they've turned away from the gospel, right? They've abandoned the gospel. So the gospel is the foundation of Christianity. Without it, the whole thing would fall apart, right? Our church would be meaningless, it would be a social club at best. So we must, as priest kings, help preserve the gospel, right? Paul's charge is to the church, not just to the elders, but to the entire church, to preserve the gospel. So what does it look like to preserve the gospel? Well, knowing it, studying it, right? Jonathan has some questions for us to think about. Can you explain the gospel in 60 seconds? What is the relationship between faith and works? Can a Christian live in unrepentant sin? Why or why not? Why is it important for a Christian to affirm the doctrine of the Trinity? Right? This is foundational knowledge for the Christian. So we must know what we are representing in our job. Any questions about our call to preserve the gospel? All right, job description number three, help affirm gospel citizens. Help affirm gospel citizens. In Matthew 16, Jesus gives the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the church so that we are to receive and dismiss members. But on a more personal note, we are to know and be known by our members of the local church. We are to help our fellow members as and to be helped by them when we stray. And we can only do this when we know them and are known by our fellow members, to be involved in our members' lives, right? Like I said, gathering on Sunday, the regular gathering of the church is a great comprehensive witness, a great comprehensive teaching to us. But in between those, if we are to be able to build each other up, we must know each other outside of these short 2-3 hours. So what are some ways that we can involve each other in our lives in order to know each other? How can we do that?
Potlucks.
Potlucks, okay. Food.
Get together,
small group.
Yeah, small group, sure.
Yeah. Go out one-on-one, go out with mine, try to
get, yeah.
Have people over.
Helping each other in times of need.
Sure.
Not just when you stray, but when you struggle.
Sure.
You,
yeah, it basically boils down to time together, to spend time together. That's how you know people, right? That's why my wife and my daughter probably know me better than anyone else, right? They spend the most time with me, especially in times of increased telework, where it seems endless. but a great joy as well. But yeah, that is a responsibility. We need to help affirm gospel citizens. We need to know each other in the church. That is part of our responsibility of the gathered church. Any questions on that? All right, number four, we are to attend, we should, part of our description is to attend members' meetings. Right, so members' meetings are an appointed time where we as members exercise the authority Christ has given us in the church. Again, this is an as you are able, right? Sometimes you're unable to attend, right? These responsibilities are not going to a file where at the end of the year we do a review and. No, but this is as you are able to attend members' meetings. So why? Members' meetings are different from the regular church gathering, right? We can speak more clearly and directly to specific members of the church in members' meeting. I would say that the authority of the congregation is vitally important to our church. Your elders are sinners. We can be wrong and misled. We need the members to keep us in check. I have seen the work of God and the congregation's authority provide important correction to the elders' direction. And so part of that is attending members' meetings, following along, exercising the authority that Christ has given, not just to elders, but to the entire congregation. Any questions or thoughts about that? Job responsibility, attend members' meetings.
I just don't see that as a separate item. I think that's just part of the whole, yeah, being together, working together.
Absolutely.
For him to make it a separate item seems needless because it's just part of the way we walk together. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I don't
felt he had to put that as a special.
Gotcha.
We get to Revelation, I don't think God's going to care if we went to a members meeting, but I think he cares that we walk together.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that's, I mean, it goes to not, you know, there's not, like,
yeah,
records kept,
yeah.
But if you get down to the minutiae of a job responsibility, one of those would be,
how
as you're able.
This is how we walk together.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I just,
Because you could attend a members meeting and not actually be walking together, right? You could be checked out. You could be not prepared.
You can check out anytime.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yep.
I mean, but I just think it's a part of how we encourage each other, walk together with each other, and I don't know.
For me, that's the right attitude to have.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, a lot of people consider members meetings as something separate, right? This is not the substance of what we're here for. So I think to draw it out in particular, no, don't be confused. Like, they are one and the same. They're all part of our.
Well, I think just because people always saw it as a business meeting. Yeah. Yeah, we were going to talk about money.
Right.
That's not what we do.
Right.
But
business people, yeah.
Yeah. I have never seen anyone wear a tie to a members meeting.
But anyway, I just part of the whole.
That's good. All right. Number five, disciple other church members. Can we go to Ephesians 4? Someone read verses 14 and 15.
Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. Is that right? That's all right.
No, that's right.
Yep, 15.
But, speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Oh, that's better.
that's a good way to end it. So each part of the body does its work, right? Speaking the truth in love. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So we want to be not just involved in other church members' lives. I think that's an important precursor for doing discipleship, is having some kind of relationship where you can talk deeply. But we want to speak the truth to each other, help each other grow. That is discipling. And we are to do it, and we are to receive discipling from others. Any questions about our responsibility to disciple and be discipled? Okay, number six, responsibility, share the gospel with outsiders. 2 Corinthians 5, 19, second half of 19 and verse 20 says that God is entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, we are born in this world not knowing God in our hearts, right? So, the only way the church continues from generation to generation is if we make this plea that others be reconciled to God through Christ. So, this is part of our job description. To evangelize, to share the gospel with outsiders. Any questions on our call to evangelize? All right. Number seven, responsibility, follow your leaders. It's the elders' job to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The other six responsibilities we talk through. If we aren't teaching the gospel, catechizing the church in the gospel, teaching the members their responsibility for one another, we are ill-equipping the church for the job Jesus has given us. So as elders, we need correction, and so give it as appropriate. We stumble and fall. But by God's grace, should we manage not to stumble, consider God gave the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Consider that the outcome of the way of life of the leaders in the church, imitate their faith, follow their teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, love, endurance, along with prosecutions and sufferings. So following church leaders, also responsibility, right? And again, it ties into our job description, right? Our thought of church as a job, right? Sometimes they have a posting, it's the CEO and you're gonna be running the show, but most of the postings are not that one. And certainly in the job description of the church, we are not running the show, but are stewards and workers of the one who is. Any other questions? Any other areas maybe we missed that the church is to serve in a function that could be equated to a job description? All right, so my last question is just thinking back over this long series. Yeah, were there any particularly helpful insights that stuck out to you either week to week, or did you find kind of as we sought to kind of reorient and get back into a normal church pattern, were there particular ways in which you found the study helpful?
I think one that stands out for me is because we weren't able to do so much during 2020, but hospitality, just how that facilitates so much of what we talked throughout the whole 6 months, but yeah, just having people into your home, something that we missed, and it is very much a vacation, like we got out of the habit of it, it's so much easier not to, so it's work to get back into our pre-vacation habits.
Yeah, that's great. That it was funny that this, you know, suggestion of how do we do this? How do we? I was talking about how do we get to know each other. The first suggestion was food, right? Like that is a great avenue for the work of the church.
We might switch it up to service would be better, but we do food as Baptists.
Yeah. We certainly don't want the entire substance of our. We're not caterers, right? We're not trying to purely grow our culinary skills. Want that to be an avenue.
I just think as a totality of the classes, it gives everybody the same basis of understanding of how we should be living and interacting together as a church. Mm.
Yeah, that's good.
Growing up, I never had a series of classes on how the church is supposed to be run or designed. So it's very helpful to kind of get that foundation. It's like when I first started coming to this church, in the bulletins, there's a, I guess it wasn't, at some point along the way, the first 4 years, we started putting in the bulletin all the different, the listing of all the different prayers and why we do them.
Right.
Or the order of the service. What do these different things mean? I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I know that we did things, and it was important, and there was reasons for each one, but I didn't ever had it spelled out. It was fantastic. It's nice to know.
Yeah. That's good. All right. Well, we'll be taking 2 weeks off. We'll not be meeting Sunday school next week. We'll have regular service, but not the Sunday school hour next week or the second following. Yeah, we'll be back with our two new Sunday school classes on the 9th. We'll be having a class on evangelism. Is there a title more than evangelism? Not that it needs it.
Sharing the gospel.
Okay. And that'll be meeting here in this room. And then we'll also be having a class walking through, that'll be a 6-week class. And then we'll also be having a 12-week class walking through the 10 commandments. 12-week class. I almost said 12 commandments.
And
10
that's
commandments.
What the youth are doing also, right?
So the youth are able to go to either one of those two classes.
Okay. Yeah, we particularly, I mean, obviously, if youth want to learn how to share the gospel, come to the evangelism class.
But the goal is for them to go. Okay. Just.
Yeah. And that will be meeting in the youth room.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. David, would you close us in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a kind and a benevolent Father to give us a church, to give us a place and a people that we can congregate with and draw closer to you with, to help us when we stumble, to help us and to help others when they may stumble. We just thank you for that, for your just your great wisdom in knowing that we need others. And so I pray that we would continue to act out on these lessons we've learned over the last few weeks, that we would just work to draw closer to each other, that we would just physically make the informed decisions, even when they're uncomfortable, to try to reach out to our brothers and sisters and draw closer to them on a very personal level, and not just within the church. That you would reach into our lives and just place that on our hearts. I also pray for this morning. I pray for the sermon. I pray that that your word, that you would send the Holy Spirit, so that your word would be taught and received well. And so I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, David.